No, morning.
Today's daf and gittin is Chaf Aleph. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. As long as zechen is mostly begavela b'Shmuel. We're in Chaf Amud Aleph. We're starting at towards the bottom of the Amud. We're talking about Ksiva. We're talking about how to write. The necessary component of a get is that you have to write it. The Torah is the cuss of law. So we're going into some of the most basic definitions of what Ksiva is in fact considered. The Mishnah on Yotzei Min Aleph, which started the whole discussion, mentioned a bunch of inks that were acceptable because there were permanent markings. And then we talked about the items in which you can write upon. Our focus today is on the actual writing itself, on the actual act of ksiva. And so we are starting a discussion in the Gemara regarding ksiva that you don't actually write with ink, but you write by making an impression, otherwise known as engraving. Various forms of engraving. So is that going to be considered a ksiva? Tanu Rabbanan, we are towards the, we're about two-thirds down on the Amud, on Chaf Amud Aleph. And let's begin. Because of Aloch Chalkak, the Torah says that you have to do a chakika and you can't, a ksiva and you cannot do a chakika. So you can't engrave. So the Gemara says, Lamemer de chakika la ksiva hivereminu. So the Gemara says, now just wait 1 second. Eva shiatza b'ksav shal gabi tavla. The upinkas yatza lecheros. I'm sorry, yatza lecheros. So let's say you have an Eved Kanani, and he has a ksav, he has a writing, which is on a tablet, and so he goes free. So, but if it was something, if it was the lettering that was embroidered, so the Brisa says that's not the embroidering is nothing. Meaning even if the letters are embroidered, that's nothing. Rashi simply writes that it's not a permanent type of writing. It's gonna be undone. Very quickly. It's not even Rashi. I'm gathering from Rashi. It's not even like a very sophisticated embroidering. It's kind of like the stitching, just a couple stitches here and there to create the letters. That's no good. But anyway, what comes out, however, is that an engravement is considered a ksiva as it relates to the shtar of an Eved Kanani, allows him to go free. So Amar Ula, Amar Rebbe Elazar Lokasha, Hadachak Tuchos, Hadachak Yerechos. So the Gemara says, okay. So in terms of an engraving, we're going to have to make a very basic fundamental difference. If the letters are engraved where, the way they're engraved is that they are, you're basically chiseling away outside of the letter, and the letters then are formed, me'elav, the letters just kind of happen to be there, not happen to be there, but you're not actually engraving the letter themselves, but you're engraving around, and that way the letters are formed. So the Gemara says that's no good. That's what the Gemara refers to as chak tuchos. You are chiseling away inside and outside the letter, but they're not actually creating the letters themselves through the engraving. The Gemara says that's no good. That's puzzle. That's not ksiva. That's not considered writing. Masha Einkin, what we're describing over here in the Braisa, is you're actually chiseling away the letters themselves. The engraving is going on the actual letter, and that is considered a ksiva, and that would be considered a writing. V'tuchos lo v'riminu. So the Gemara says, now, all this is well and good, but let me ask you now a simple question. And that is that we know that the Kohen Gadol wore Shmona Begadim. So he wore 8 articles of clothing, 4 above that which a Kohen Hedjah wears. And what he wears is a tzitz. And the tzitz is a gold plate that goes along his forehead. And it says on the words, Kodesh LaHashem. Now the words are not written with ink, but rather the words are engraved on it. Now, what does it look like? So here the Brisa describes. So what it looked like is a coin. I mean, if you look at a coin, so what do you see in terms of the minting of a coin? So you see that the letters are not recessed, but the letters are protruding. On the tzitz worn by the Kohen Gadol, the letters of Kodesh Lashem are actually protruding. Now, how did it get there? How did the protruding letters get there? Ostensibly, what happened is that there was some sort of mold. It pressed into the plate, basically pushing back everything around the words Kodesh LaHashem, and the words Kodesh LaHashem kind of just, got their mimela. So that means then that is considered a ksiva, right? Tochosein, the Gemara asks this question exactly. Isn't when we're minting coins, aren't the way we're making the letters is by taking a mold, pushing it against the coin, and the letters are coming, but not because we're actually making the letters, it's because we're pressing the background. And isn't the same thing true by the tzitz? And it's considered, it must be qualified as a ksiva. So the Gemara says, no, kidinar zav lo kidinar zav. Although the Braisa compares it to a coin, it's not exactly like a coin. The Kidinar zav de bole. On one hand, just like the letters on a coin are protruding, so too the letters on the tzitz are protruding. In that regard, it's similar. However, v'lo kidinar zav dilotach deilu hasam tuchos hacha yerechos. But the fundamental difference is that when it comes to a coin, so yeah, see, there's a mold, and it's pressed, and the letters are there, but only because we're working on the background, and we're not actually touching the letters. But when it comes to the tzitz, they're actually carving and engraving the letters. How are they doing that? So Rashi says over here, Tosfos doesn't agree, but we're going to just stay with Rashi through the sugya. So Rashi says that you take the tzitz and you turn it upside. You work from the reverse. You work from the inside, and you're banging out the letters. So from the front, the letters are protruding, and the way you're writing it is you're banging it out from the back. So Amalei Rebbein
Le... Huh?
And that's considered ksiva.
I'm saying, does it say v'kosav?
We'll get to the answers. Yes, the simple answer is yes. Amalei Rebbein Le Rav Ashi Rushma. So Ravina says to Rav Ashi, let me ask you a question. When we mint a coin, meaning we just assume that in the terms of the minting of a coin, the letters are not created. It's just that the mold pushes back the background, and the letters are there mimela, and we said that's not considered ksiva. The Gemara now is going to just kind of question whether this is in fact a correct assumption or not. So Rushma, so when we're talking about coins, the minting of a coin, the Gemara says, look, you're taking the mold and you're pushing it against the coin, and you're obviously creating letters by pushing it. Is the press of the mold, is it just pushing back the background and then the letters are just there on their own? Or maybe no. Maybe because of the pressure of the press, maybe the gold is actually filling in the area of the mold, and you are kind of, more than kind of, you are actually squeezing the letters into the mold, so you are effectively writing. The Gemara says, how exactly does the press work? So, the answer is, like we started off the assumption, is that the only thing it does is it pushes back the background, and the letters then happen on their own. Eisvei. The Gemara says, okay, the challenge over here is going to be almost identical. So meanwhile, we have the tzitz. And the tzitz, I know this sounds like a repeat, but meanwhile, we have the tzitz. And the tzitz, we know the letters on the tzitz are protruding. Well, how did they get there? And the Braisa says, it's minted like a coin. Well, the minting of a coin, we just established, you're not making the letters. All you're doing is pushing the background back. The letters happen on their own. So by the tzitz, if that's true, so then we have a problem. Now, if you're right, so then habi'ina michtav v'leika. So by the tzitz, the Torah describes it as being a writing. In other words, it has to be engraving, but an engraving done in the form of a writing, v'leika. And you don't have that by the tzitz if, in fact, you're right. So again, the Gemara's answer, it's a repeat of what we saw earlier. Kidinar zav alo kidinar zav. It's like a coin, but not like a coin. So kidinar zav debolet, on one hand, it's like a coin in that the letters are protruding, just like the letters on a coin are protruding. V'lo kidinar zav di'ilo hasa megavai v'hacha me'avrai. But again, the Gemara's going to describe that. When it comes to a coin, so the mold is being pushed against the coin. And the only thing that's happening is that's pushing back the background, and the letters then are me'elav. The letters just happen to be there. So, but you're not. That's not a ksiva. Masha'enke, when it comes to the tzitz, the letters are actually fashioned by turning the tzitz inside out, banging it from the back, then having the letters protrude. And the Gemara says, and that's why by the tzitz, it is you're satisfying the requirement of ksiva. By mine Rav min Rav Nachman kasal v'get al tashal zahav amar la. Okay. Yesterday we described perhaps the most expensive get. Recording the Gemara, we described a Sefer Torah being offered as a get, right? But the Gemara immediately dismissed that as a suggestion. Gemara says a Sefer Torah cannot be used as a get, even though there is a parsha of getting in the Sefer Torah. And even if, this is what we saw yesterday in the Gemara, and even if he handed the sofer some extra money and said, I want you to have in mind while writing the Sefer Torah also, that this will serve as a divorce for my wife. So even, the Gemara says, of course, it's not going to work. You know, the names are not written in the Sefer Torah. It doesn't work. So, but at least yesterday we were introduced to the most expensive get. This will rival. This get will be, if not the first, then the second most expensive get. I mentioned the Gemara, and that is as follows. The get was written on a plate of gold. Okay, the and a piece of gold. And he says to her the following. Obviously, this is an extraordinarily expensive get. The man was creative and I could even say efficient. Here's what he did. He handed her the get and he said, this will serve as two functions. Number one, this will be your get. Number two, also it's going to be your ksuva. Meaning, upon death or divorce, he owes her some amount of money established at the beginning of the marriage, what we call a ksuva. So now he's indebted to her because he's divorcing her. So fine. So in his efficiency, so now he's handing her a get, and the get is also serving as the payment for the ksuva. Efficient. But it may not be good. Now, why not? Mahu. So he says, what would be the halacha? What's the Gemara's question? So the question goes like this. We've already established on yesterday's daf that in order for the get to be a valid get, it has to be words on something. I know that sounds simple, but the simplicity of it is that it has to be words written on something handed to her. That's a definition of a get. Now, here you got the words. Meaning it was engraved, and let's just assume that the engraving was done correctly. Okay, so that it's not chaktuchos, it was engraved correctly. But here now, it's words on what? So it is on gold, and gold is certainly something, but the gold is also representing the payment of Riksuva. So the truth of the matter is the gold is not his per se, although it is, but it's serving as the payment for the Riksuva. So the truth of the matter is, he's not giving something of his to her, he's giving something that he owes her to her. And in fact, Tosa says, look, we discussed in yesterday's daf, writing a get on Isuri Hana, right? And now Isuri Hana has zero value. But Tosa says, at least, even though it has zero value, at least it's words on something. That something doesn't have value, but at least it's something. And he's handing her the something. Here, in the case of the gold bar, so he's handing her the gold bar, but it may be even less than something, because it represents the payment of the ksuva, which he owes her. So the Gemara now is wondering, is this going to be a satisfactory definition of a get? Is it considered words on something, or is it not even that? So that's the Gemara's question, Mahu. So Amar Leh, so the response is, Niskamba Giltav, Niskamba Ksuva Sah. So the answer is no, it's good, it works. Meaning, it is considered a get, the words are written on something, even though it's also true that the Ksuva is going to serve the gold is going to serve as repayment to the Ksuva, it's valid. So Eitzvah, the Gemara challenges based on a Brice, Niskamba Gitech, Vashar, Luksuva Sah. Let's say he says, this is your get, and the rest of it is going to be serving as payment back for your ksuva. In other words, the Braisa basically is discussing a similar point where he hands her something of significant value. It's not just a piece of paper. And he says that the words themselves written on whatever background they're written on, that's your get. Anything around it, meaning all the gold that's surrounding it, that will serve as payment to Yuxuva. So the Braisa concludes that, okay, it's a get, and the rest of it's going to be Yuxuva. But you noticed, however, and the Gemara is going to note it, you notice that it said, Hashar Yuxuva Sa, that he had to make it clear that all the margin that's surrounding the get, that's going to be applied toward Yuxuva. Time Adika, Shar Haleka, Shar Lo. So the Gemara says, it sounds like from the Braisa, only because there's a Gilyon, and only because he identified the Gilyon as payment of the Yuxuva. Otherwise, the Gemara assumed no, meaning that all it is just a get, and it can't double as a get and the payment of Riksuva. So the Gemara says no. Who adinav agavda like a shar? The Gemara says no. The truth of the matter is that even if there is no margin, even if it's just a get, where the words are basically covering the entire area, still, it could serve as a get, and it could also serve as piron. The hakam ashwan daf agav di kashar iamar la in ilo amar ilo lo. The point the Bryce just wants to make is the following: margins. How do we view margins? Margins is part of the page, right? Every page has got margins. You look at your Gemara, you look at any book. Every page has got margins. A get also is going to have margins. Without saying the word sha'ar, we would have thought, we would have considered that a get is a get in its totality and nothing else. Meaning that the words, the background where the words are written on, that's the get. The margins, that's also the get. I wouldn't necessarily have assumed that the margins is going to serve as another purpose. That's why he has to go out of his way to say v'hashar l'ksuvasa, just to make sure that we know that the margins are going to be viewed as part of the ksuv repayment. My time avir de megilta megurash. I'm sorry, avir de megilta. Because without saying the word sha'ar l'ksuva, I would have just thought that the margins is just simply part of the get. And now he gave her a get, even though what he gave it on is expensive, but he didn't stipulate. We assume that the margins is just simply part of the paper. And on top of that, he would have to also now pay the ksuva. Tana Rabbanan. Let's say he says, here's your get, but the paper belongs to me. I'm not relinquishing ownership of the paper. The get is yours, but the paper is mine. So the Braisa says, that's no good. Rashi describes it as the letters floating in the air. Again, because the basic definition of a get, it has to be words on something. And over here, it's words, but it's not on anything. So that's no good. However, if he gives the get as an Indian giver, I'm going to give you the get, but I'm going to want it back afterwards. So I raise them aggressions. That's fine. Rashi reminds us, matana manasa hachzir is considered a matana. Indian giving is considered giving. Right? We know this most famously by Sukkos, when a person does not have a lulav and esrog on day one, and he needs to own the lulav and esrog, so there you give it matana manasa hachzir. You give it as a gift, with the condition that you're going to return it. And that is a legally binding gift for the time that you own it. So here also, as long as she owns the words and paper, even though it's a limited time, but that limited time is considered ownership, and that get would be a valid get. By Rav Papa, let's say do the following. Let's say I give her the get, the words you can have. The words are all yours. And I'll tell you what, even the background where all the words are on, those are also yours as well. What I'm going to retain for myself is everything around that. The margins, even between the lines. Everything else is going to be mine. So the only thing is yours is going to be just the letters and just the background of the letters, but nothing else. Take the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. The typically the Sefer Echad Amarachmana Veloshayim Veshoshas Farm. So the Gemara says, wait one second. If he's withholding the space between the lines, so basically he's handing her, right, let's assume, like we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, right, the Gittin is made up of 12 lines, which it is, that's Minhag Yisrael, so the Gittin is made up of 12 lines, so really what he's given her are 12 separate pieces of paper, each one obviously, if you put them together, and between the letters also, it's even more, I know, even if it were just 12, so it's 12 separate pieces of paper, and now the Gemara says, we know that the get has to be comprised of one. The Torah says v'kasav la sefer. It has to be a singular entity. And now if you're retaining the margins and the area between the lines and the area between the words, so the Gemara says, so basically what you're handing her is like one of those ransom notes. You know, if you have that good visual in your head, you know, where now she's just basically putting together the words and the letters. So the Gemara says, by that alone, shouldn't we simply say it's disqualifying? So the Gemara says no, because in the way the get is written, the letters are encroaching one on the other, and so therefore it would be impossible to kind of cut between the lines of the get, because the letters are encroaching one on another. Now, just as an interesting side note, by Sefer Torah we know that there's a lach of what's called Mukav Gvil. When you write a Sefer Torah, there has to be klaf around every side of a letter. If one letter encroaches upon another letter, the Sefer Torah is pasul. Okay, basic halacha regarding a Sefer Torah. Is there such a halacha by the writing of a get? So the Gemara never discusses it, but from this one line of Gemara, so this is where the discussion happens, in terms of whether there's a halacha of Mukuf Gvil when it comes to the writing of a get. So Tosfos, you can see right in Tosfos, in the fourth Tosus on the Amun. Lo tzricha de ma'ura. Mikan medakti Rav Yitzchak bar Mordechai. Dein tzarech megesh yitei kol os mukefes gvil. Me'arba ruchoseha. Kida amar hacha de ma'ura. The fact that the Gemara over here just made one sentence over the idea that I can't cut between the lines of a get because the letters are encroaching one on another, so it must be that letters touching on a get is not going to be a postal. Tosfos says that's what you see from our Gemara over here. However, in Tosfos itself, you already see that there's contention on this issue. V'riomer, de'emi kan raya, da'ad de'kam ed'mura, ha'ino regel chaf, shalshita al-yona, betof shalshita shetachtaha. So Tosfos says, no, we can easily envision a case where you would have, let's say, the leg of a chaf going down into a tuf that's below it. So, and even though there's no contact, and even though they're not touching, but you can't now take scissors. I mean, if you were really, you know, if you have a really steady pair of hands, you could do it, but you can't take scissors and just run right across the line and separate the line above and the line below. That Tosfos says that's all the Gemara means. But it doesn't mean that the letters can actually be touching. So Tosfos is unsure, machlokus within Tosfos, as to whether or not the halacha of Mukagvil, which is true by Sefer Torah, is also going to be true by get as well. Just as a as an interesting side point. By Rami Bar Chama, back to the Gemara, we're in the middle of Chaf Amid Beis. Question by Rami Bar Chama. Okay, let's start off with the following general assumption. The Eved Kenani was owned by the husband. Okay. And now, a get was written on the hand of the Eved Kenani. That shouldn't sound strange, although maybe it does, but it shouldn't because we already discussed this back in the Mishnah, where one of the items that the get was written on was on the Eved Kenani itself. Now, the Eved Kenani is treated as property. Halachically, has the same status of karka. So what he's doing, basically, is writing the get on the hand of the Eved Kenani and handing it over to her, and that actually serves as a get. But here, it's a little trickier for the following reason. Now, we don't. There are no Eidei Mesira, or none that we can identify right now. And she walks into court with the Eved Kenani, with the get on his hand. And now, so do we assume? Because the only way the get would work is if he transferred ownership of the get to her. That's the only way this get would work. Otherwise, even though the get's written on his body, it simply doesn't function as a get unless he gives it to her. So do we assume such a kinyan took place? Odilma, humanavshe ayo. Or maybe no. Maybe they get on his own. Because remember, this get is written on not a piece of paper, but on a human being. So it could very well be that this get walked in on his own volition. Okay, you normally don't have getting walking around. But here you have I know it sounds strange, but here you have a walking get. So I'm a Rava Vitepiklay Dekasar Shiachalis Daifu. So the Gemara says, now first of all, aren't we worried that this could be a forgery? Meaning he just took a pen and wrote it on him. Well, the Rava Kasha Masisa and Aliyah shall have it. So wait one second, the Gemara says, what about the Mishnah? The Mishnah already described this. You're bothered as we're presenting the case now. Why weren't you bothered when we presented the Mishnah? Bishlama Masisa and Rava Lokasha, Bei Demisira, Vereba Lazarhi. Gemara says, look, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, it could very well be that the Mishnah represents Rabbi Lazar's viewpoint, that Eidei Mesira kores. And it could very well be that the Mishnah, there were Eidei Mesira. But El Rami Bar Chama Kasha, but for Rami Bar Chama, clearly there were no Eidei Mesira because nobody is attesting to the transfer of the get from him to her. So it's not Eidei Mesira, which are kores, it's the Eidei Chasima. So now, is there such a thing as indelible writing on the body? Everyone knows the answer. The Gemara is about to say it. So Larami Brachamakash Nami Lokasha Biksuvas Kaka. So Hashtanami. So I'm sorry. Yeah. Period. So the Gemara says that it is indelible. It was tattooed. Meaning the get was actually tattooed on the Eved Kenani's body. So the Gemara says that's how we know that it was not a forgery. It wasn't just somebody scribbling it on. It was indelibly written on his skin. Now, just one second. I'll get to the tattooing in just a moment. So the Gemara says, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, then we can easily say the same thing. Meaning, and probably that's how you understood the Mishnah when we read it. The Mishnah is also talking about whether there was a tattooing done on the body of the Eved Kenani. So it is indelible, and that's not an issue at all. Now, it may not be an issue at all, but it is interesting and odd, an oddity, that we of course know that tattooing is an issur minatorah. And the Gemara in Makos discusses that There are levels of tattooing in terms of Isurim. Some type of tattooing is also min haTorah. Others are only also min haRabbanan. So there are various levels. You can even, Tosis has this discussion, you can even drop this type of tattooing that was done over here to an Issa deRabbanan, Issa deRaisa. But yes, what essentially has to be said is that in order to arrive at this conclusion, you violate an Isur min haTorah, or at least min haRabbanan, to get to this point in time. That part is strange, admittedly. Tosus discusses it, but anyway, but in the very least, you have now a question. What's the question? Question on hand is, we know the Eved belongs to him. We now see that the Eved is connected with her. Again, the Eved is the means, the object in which the get was written on, and no one saw the actual transfer of ownership. And now, can we assume that she is the rightful owner of the Eved? My Havila, Tashma, Damarish Lakish. Well, he's an Eved Kanani. He's not a guy.
But he's
not. I understand that, but he's not a guy. He's chayv. He's chayv in all the mitzvot.
The Issa, the Araisa,
I was presumably right. Okay, so wait one second.
Is the question in her mind whether she did a kinyan or did he actually deliver?
Is her
get, or did the get itself?
Is her active? The question is her active possession of the Eved Kanani proof positive that an acquisition was done?
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking,
what if he walked over himself?
I'm holding this phone. In halachic terminology, the phone belongs to me.
Right.
Because I'm right now in possession of it.
Right.
She's current possession of the Eved Kanani. That's all well and good.
Okay.
But does that mean that he actively gave it to her? Now, the Eved Kanani is a trickier item because this one is inanimate.
Yeah, right.
The Eved Kanani can walk himself.
Right.
The Gemara isn't going to note that fundamental difference. So the Gemara says, Damar Reish Lakish, Agodros ain't laim chazaka. So Reish Lakish says that Godros do not have a chazaka. When you're talking about cattle or anything that can move on its own, just because it's on your possession doesn't mean you are the owner. Generally speaking, by inanimate objects, possession is 10/10 of the law. Possession is everything. But when it comes to items that can move on their own, just because you own it doesn't mean you own it. Or I should say better, just because you have it doesn't mean you own it. So here the Gemara says same thing is true with an Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani is somebody that can walk on their own. So just because she's now, the Eved Kanani is with her, doesn't mean necessarily that the Eved Kanani belongs to her. So the Gemara says that's the that is the conclusion in terms of the question of the original question from Rami Bar Chama. Without Eda Mesira, we don't automatically jump to the assumption that belongs to her. There is a Tosfos over here also, just mentioned very quickly. Tosfos says that the Gemara says that there's no chazaka as it relates to animal. And in other words, you own animals, just because you possess it doesn't necessarily mean you own it. But Tosfos points out that that's true for the immediate, for the here and now. If, let's say, you've had possession of it for 3 years, like an Eved Kanani for 3 years, just like there's a Kinyan Chazaka when it comes to property, like kind of like a squatter's, you've been there 3 uncontested years, you're the de facto owner, that's, Tosfos says that's also true regarding Eved Kanani. The Gemara just means that for the immediate, we don't assume that the item belongs to the moving item belongs to the person who's in current possession of it. Okay.
You're
right. Correct. Okay. By Rami Bar Chama. Okay. Before we start this next Gemara, just a brief word of introduction. Okay. When we're talking about contracts, let's start here. There are two basic types of contracts. There's Shtari Kiyum, Shtari Raya. Okay. This is just basics, and it really will help us get through these, navigate through this next sugya. Next sugya is a little tricky, admittedly, but it's good. It really it's some basic fundamentals in terms of contract law. There's a shtar for kiyum and the shtar for raya. Shtar for kiyum means that the contract itself is affecting the kinyan. Okay. You marry a woman, for example. So how do you marry her? So the Mishnah says three ways. Kesef, shtar, and bia. So what does shtar mean? It means that the contract itself is the vehicle in which now she belongs to you. Okay, you're right. You understand. That's how the kinyan is affected. That's how the kinyan kedushin is affected. It's the shtar itself is the vehicle of kinyan. And sometimes the shtar is not the king in itself. The shtar just simply serves as proof, right? I lent you $100. What's proof? Proof is going to be the document. The loan document is not serving as a means in which the money is being transferred. You know how the money gets transferred? Easy. You give me the money. The document there is just serving as raya, is just serving as a proof that now I am owed $100 because I have a document. Now, in the world of let's go back to the first category. Let's go back to the shtar kiyum. In the world of shtar kiyum, so how exactly does this transfer take effect? It has to be that, for example, if Ben is selling me a property, okay, so he's selling me a property, we're going to write a contract. I have to write he's selling me the property, so then I have to give him over. I'm the lokeach, he's the mocher. I have to give him over the contract. But it also means that I have to own the contract. The contract has to be owned by me, and I in turn have to give it to him. Okay, it cannot be that the paper is going to belong to him. He'll write up the document on his paper. He'll hand me the paper, I'll hand it back to him. It doesn't work that way. The only way the shtar kiyum is going to work is if the actual document is owned by me, and then I hand it over to him. That is how a shtar mecher works, when the shtar is the means in which the kinyan is affected. All that being stated, I'm sorry, and one other point. When it comes to the Get Isha, so the shtar over here, it's not a shtar raya, it's not a proof, it's a shtar kiyum. Meaning the document itself is the vehicle in which she will now acquire herself. So, how does it work? It means now that the husband has to be the owner of the paper, and he's handing it over to her, so that she can be now an acquisition of herself. Okay, all this being said, so now the Gemara discusses the following. The tablet belonged to her. And that's a starting point, that's the assumption. That we know. The tablet belonged to her. Whatever, a piece of paper, whatever it is. The item in which we're writing the get on. The get cause of Allah. And now the get was written, and then you wrote on the get. V'arehi yotzei mitachas yado. And now what happens is, you see the tablet in his possession, he hands it back to her, mahu. What would be the halacha? Does she know this halacha that we just went over? I mean, does she know that in order for the get to work, the tablet can't belong to her? It has to at one point belong to him. Now this can easily be remedied by a simple kinyan. She's going to give it over to him, and then he in turn is going to give it back to her. But does she know that? Does she understand that? Or maybe she doesn't know that. Now, if she doesn't know that, this get is not going to work. Because again, a fundamental definition of a shtar kiyum is that the get has to belong to the one who is transferring over to the other. Okay, so Amar Abai Tashma, the Gemara says, consider the following. This is a mission in Adios that describes a small town, right outside of Jerusalem. And there was an elderly over there. And he was not only an elderly, he was also Talmid Chacham, and he also happened to have been the Parnas Seir. He was a wealthy person in the town. And what he would do is he would lend to everyone within the village. Now, he would be writing up all the paperwork. And everyone else would be signing on the document. But he would be writing it. Now, the mission radio says, the question came in front of the Chachamim. I don't understand. He's the one lending. He's also the one writing up the paperwork? He shouldn't be the one writing up the paperwork. In other words, when you're the lover, so you should be the one writing up the paperwork, handing over then the shtar over to the malva. And meanwhile, that's not what's happening in the Mishnah over there. Now the Chachamim said it was fine. Now the Chachamim said it was fine, because as the Gemara itself is about to point out, well, let's see the Gemara. You need a sefer mikna, meaning that the shtar itself must be owned by the lover and handed over to the malva. So alalav mishum darmina niknuy maknilahu. So what the Chachamim were saying in that Mishnah Adios is the old man knew it. The old man knew that in order for this kinyan to be effective, in order for the loan to be effective, what he did is he wrote up the paperwork. He then handed the paper over to the lova and says, look, here's how it's going to work. You're going to borrow money from me. You should be the one writing up the paperwork. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write it up on this piece of paper. I'm going to be makna. I'll transfer the paper over to you, and then you're going to hand it back to me. So obviously that's what's done over there, and the Mishnah Nedios is telling us that we're going to make an assumption that people know that. Okay. Yeah.
It seems to be a different case with the monetary exchange there, because with a get, you can force it on her. Who cares whether she knows?
Well, the issue which Tosfos over here discusses, I thought you were going to bring this up. The issue that Tosfos discusses is the fact that they're in a loan, so the shtar over there is not the vehicle of transfer. The vehicle of transfer is the money. And the shtar over there is just a shtar raya, not a shtar kiyum. Tosfos discusses on the bottom of the Amud. Okay, it's worth noting. Tosfos offers a solution in terms of how the Gemara can compare the two. But in the meantime, we're just going to stay on the basic point that it the lova needs to be at one point the owner of the document. So the Mishnah Nedios says, let's assume that the malva knew that. Malva handed over the paper to the lova. Lova then in turn handed it back to the malva. So the Gemara says, that's wonderful. We now know a Mishnah Nedios. So what? I'm a Rav on my Kushya. Duma Zakin Shami Diadalak Nuye. There in the Mishnah Nedios, we're talking about a Zakin. So he's an elder statesman of the town. He knows halacha, and he knows that this is a necessary process in terms of creating a kiyum hashtar. So that's great. So, but over here, does the woman know that? Meaning, we know that this tablet belonged to the woman, and we now can we assume that the woman is going to know enough to hand the tablet over to the husband and say, "Look, the get's written on this tablet, but you need to be in possession of the tablet. Then you're going to have to give it back to me." Does she know that? So, Alama Rava Mehacha. So, Rava says, "Yeah, I think we know this halacha from the following a Mishnah Baba Basra. It's at the tail end of a very long masechta. Let's say you have a guarantor signing on the contract. The guarantor obviously serves the purpose of guaranteeing a loan. Here the Mishnah Baba Basra is describing where the guarantor is signing below the Chasima Sa'edim, below the witnesses of the signature of the witnesses. Now, in terms of a basic idea of a guarantor, we all understand that in the event that the borrower defaults on the loan and the borrower is incapable of paying, so now the arev allows the malve to readdress who is going to be responsible for paying the loan. It's going to be the arev. But in this contract, however, he's signing below the signatures, which means that he wasn't part and parcel of the original loan, and he was only signing on afterwards. So you can go after the arev, but not mishubadim. You don't have a lien on the property of the arev because he didn't come before the signatures, he only came after. Remember, the whole idea behind the contract is that it creates a kol, it creates a voice, it publicizes a loan, so that now anyone who buys property from the borrower, buyer beware. Now everyone should be on alert that this particular guy has got outstanding obligations, and in the event that the lender he can't pay the lender, lender's going to go after the property. Here, because the RA signed after the signatures, so he is not part of the contract per se. All well and good. That's not even the point that we want to tease out of this Mishnah Baba Basra. What are we teasing out of this Mishnah Baba Basra? In order for the Arev to successfully obligate himself to be responsible for the loan in the event that the borrower defaults, so he needs at one point in time to be holding the paper and then handing it back. Was all that done? Now the Mishnah Baba Basra doesn't say, but it says. Because the Mishnah Baba Basra says that the Arev is in fact responsible. So it's clear from that Mishnah Baba Basra, even though it didn't write that that's what he did, but we have to assume that's what he did. Otherwise, he wouldn't be responsible. So the Gemara says, hey, let's see the Mishnah again. Arev ayotel achachitim shtaros govim nechasim nechorim. So Amar Rav Ashi my kusha. So Rav Ashi says, again, the Mishnah Baba Basra is great. But again, Dilma Gavra Shani Diadalak Nuye. Men back then generally were the ones responsible in business. And they understood that this is how business worked. That in order for any document to be effective, it has to be once in the hand of the obligatory party and then handed to the other party. And that's the only way it's going to work. And it's understood. But over here, the question is, when the woman who was the original owner of the tavla, does she know to give the tavla over to the husband, who then in turn is going to give it back to her? So the Gemara says, yes. We're going to assume that the woman knew this as well. And we're going to assume it based on a Mishnah, which happens to be tomorrow's daf. Isha kosevis is Gita, va'ish kosevis is Shavro. Ve'in kima get ala b'chosmav. For us, the critical line of the Mishnah, we'll go over the rest of the Mishnah tomorrow, but the critical line of the Mishnah is that first line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says a woman could write her own get. That's what the Mishnah says. Now again, the Mishnah is saying it's fine. But and there's a default assumption, obviously, in that Mishnah, that she knows enough to know that the get has to be transferred over to him, meaning the paper has to be transferred over to him, and then, in turn, it will be given back to her. Amarava. Okay, so the Gemara on this point concludes that, yes, they know enough that the transfer of the paper has to go to him, back to her. Amar of the Gemara continues, Kasov la geven asno biyad avdo v'kasov la shtar matana alav. Kan aso umiskareshes bo. Let's say a get was written by the husband, and the get was handed over to an Eved Kenani. And then the Eved Kenani was assigned over to her, gifted over to her. So she did two things simultaneously. She acquired the Eved Kenani, and she also acquired the get. Gito, right, that we're going to see this expression come up later in the Masechta. Gito v'yada b'ayim ke'echad. Okay, that expression basically means as follows. There's a built-in problem with a woman receiving her get, and that is that whatever she acquires goes to her husband. This is basic halacha. So, Masha kana isha kana bala. So, how does she acquire the get that's given to her in her hand? So, the concept is, which we're going to see later in the Masechta, Gito v'yado b'ayim ke'echad. So, what happens is that she acquires the get and her hand simultaneously. Okay, they happen not in succession, but they happen at the same time. Here, basically, it's the same idea, where the get is given into the hands of the Eved Kenani. The Eved Kenani is then gifted over to her, so she acquires the Eved Kenani and the get at the same time. How is she acquiring the get? Remember, like we said earlier this morning, we say all the time, an Eved Kenani has the same status as Karka, so that's basically a get in her chatzer. Just like we'll learn later in the Masechta, he puts the get, and the Torah describes putting the get in her hand. But we're going to learn later on, it doesn't have to be in her hand. Her chatzer would be sufficient. Here as well, once she acquires the Eved Kenani is now her chatzer, and the get is in the hand of her chatzer. So the Gemara says, and again, this is a discussion that will come up later in the Masechta, and that is, this chatzer is unusual. Second time today, we're describing a walking. Earlier, we discussed a walking get. Now we're discussing a walking chatzer. But that's what an Eved Kenani is. He is legally a walking chatzer, and we know that only chatzeres which are stationary, meaning property, can acquire on your behalf. But over here, he has the legal status of property, but he's also in motion and does not create a kinyan. And even though you ask him to stay still for just a moment, that doesn't help. The Gemara says that it would work in the circumstance where he's immobile, where he's rendered immobile. So if the Eved Kenani is tied up, so then he can have the halachic status of Karka. It is slightly more complicated than what the Gemara just said. You could see the second Tosos, but the truth of the matter is we'll discuss this later in the Masechta as well when we get to the 8th Perek. So stay tuned later for more discussion of this idea of Chatzer Malachas. Ve'amar Rava, in the middle of Chafalaf Amad Aleph, Kasav La Gevenasna B'Chatzero, V'Kasav La Shtar Matana Alav. So he writes her a get and he puts it in his Chatzer. And a Shtar Matana is given to her. Kanaso Umiskaresh's bow. It's basically the same point repeated, that once he gifts over the chatzer to her, and the get that was written is in the chatzer, so gito v'chatzer b'im ke'echad. So she acquires both simultaneously. Now the Gemara says, now although this sounds repetitive, both points need to be made. Diyash mina neved hava mina dafke eved hava chatzer ligzer mishum chatzer haba l'achem mikan. I might have thought that we should make a gzera, because all this works and only works if the get was already written and placed on the chatzer. But let's say that the get only comes afterwards, so then you didn't have an asina biyada, and that's a critical component. And if I only had the case of chatzer, I might have thought, well, the eved Let's not be machshir the case of the Eved, because the Eved only works in the circumstance where the Eved is tied up. And you can easily envision a gzera, well, if the Eved is not tied, it won't work. Let's make a gzera where the Eved is tied, atu, the Eved is untied. Kamash Malan, that's why both points need to be made. The Gemara says now, chatzar is an extension of her hand. An idea that we're going to see time and again throughout the Masechta, that when the Torah says v'nasam biyada doesn't mean it has to go into her physical hand, it has to go within her possession. So if she owns a chatzar and you put it in her chatzar, that also satisfies the requirement of v'nasam biyada. Mayada diisa bein midata bein bakarcha, af chatzar diisa bein midata bein bakarcha. So the Gemara is abides bothered by the following. A chatzar has to work like her hand. When a husband hands the get over to his wife and puts it in her hand, so it's effective whether she wants it or she doesn't want it. Halacha regarding getin is that it can be done bakarcha. So the chatzar has to have the same properties, where it can be done both willingly and against her will as well. V'hamatana medata isa bakarcha lesa. Now, matana, by its very definition, you don't have to be the recipient of a matana. Someone offers you a gift, that doesn't mean that you have to accept. You can refuse again. In fact, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, better that you should refuse gifts. So ne matanas yechia. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, best advice for life, don't accept gifts. But you don't have to accept a matana. So, how can the matanas chatzar work where it's different than her hand? Her hand operates whether she wants or does not want the get. A matanas chatzar only works if she wants the matana. She doesn't have to be compelled to accept the matana of a chatzar. So maskal rav shimei bar ashi v'hashlichus lekabala demidata itza bakar chalesa v'kahavi shlich lekabala. So the Gemara says, well, what about shlichus? We know that a woman can assign a shlich to pick up her get. Now, when it comes to a shliach doesn't operate with the same principle. A shliach can only be appointed only if she wants it. In other words, a shliach, you can't force her to appoint a shliach. So a shliach can only be done biritzona, only with her will. And meanwhile, And meanwhile, a shliach would be an acceptable means of her accepting the get. So at least you find that there is precedent within halacha that a shliach, even though a shliach can only be appointed with her will, can serve to receive the get. Can we say the same thing by a chatzar? Even though the chatzar comes to her via matana? The abaya to shliachus miyada is rabbah, mi vishilach v'shilcha is rabbah. So the Abai's response is, let us not compare a shliach and a chatzar. A shliach and chatzar are coming from two different psukim in the parsha of Gittin. When it comes to a chatzar, that's learned out from Miada. That's why the chatzar has to have the same property as her hand. Her hand can accept a get whether she wants it or doesn't want it. Same thing is true with a chatzar. But when it comes to a shliach, that comes from a different location. That comes from the pasuk of Vishilcha. Rashi explains, we'll see this later in the Masechta as well, how exactly we learn the drasha, but it's a different drasha, which means that mechanically it doesn't have to operate the same way the chatzar does. So the Gemara says, so the two are not comparable. Then the Gemara says, and also, I'll tell you what, when it comes to shlichus, there also is a scenario in which shlichus works only against her will. The Hainu, that the father accepts and can appoint a shliach to accept a get on behalf of her minor daughter. And even though that is against her will, in other words, she doesn't have a say in the matter, so he can accept a get on her behalf. So we do find at least a precedent where shlichus can be done against her will. So even if you're going to compare the two, at least we do find that it can operate both against and with her will as well. Okay, let's finish up. We're in the very bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. We just finished up to the next Mishnah. Al Ale Shel Zayis Bishlam Yad De Eved Lo Ef Shalom Iksei Ela Karen Shel Paro Liksei Veleis Vela. So the Gemara says, now as far as the hand of an Eved Kanani, You're not allowed to cut off the hand of an Eved Kanani. This is both an intuitive halacha, and as Rashi points out on the top of the Amud, it's an iser, meaning aside from it's intuitive. It's an iser to damage and harm your Eved Kanani.
He did. He's not going to be
Eved anymore. That's right. Excellent. But even above that, there's an iser to actually be mechabel your Eved Kanani. So you know that you write the get on the hand of the Eved Kanani, the entire Eved Kanani must be handed over to the woman. But Karen Shalpara, Lixay Velis Fela, but if you're writing the get on the horn of a para, why not just simply cut off the horn of the para and hand it over to her? So I'm across, so this is going to touch on now a basic halacha. Because of an asan lami, shenemechusa elaksiva venestina, yatzazah, shemechusa ksiva kitsitsa unesina. It must be that in order for a get to be an effective get, there can be no separation between the writing of the get and the gifting of the get. If there's writing, and then there has to be kitsitsa, and then afterwards you give it to her, that is simply no good. That will possibly the get. A lengthy discussion in Tosos, I'm just going to highlight it, and you can look at it later, in terms of what if you write the get on an extraordinarily large parchment, and after you write the get, you kind of cut out. Is that going to be a psul in the get? Tosos has that discussion. Let's go on in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Aglu, Omer, my time is Rabbi Yossi Aglu, the Tanya Sefer, and Lila Sefer. Minayin LaRabbas, Kol Davar, Tamalomer, V'Kasalam, Mikom Akom. You could write a get on anything. Im Kema Tamalomer Sefer, Ma Sefer Davar Sheim Baruch Chaim, Ve'ino Ochel, Af Kol The word sefer comes to minimize that it can't be written on something which is alive, meaning according to Rav Yossi, not an animal, and not on food, meaning not on the alei shel zayis, which is at least edible by animals. If the Torah would have said the words ba sefer, I give it to you. The Torah doesn't mean sefer, meaning as a physical object. The Torah's word sefer just simply means a narrative. What the get must be is a narrative of I'm divorcing you. So Dvarim hu da'asa. V'rabbanan hai v'kasav my avid lay. What are the chacham going to do with the word v'kasav? Mi bai lay. B'ksivas mizgaresha v'enim mizgaresha b'kesav. The Torah, by insisting on the word v'kasav, means that the only way that divorce can be effective is through the writing of a document. You cannot affect a divorce through money. And I might have thought he could have. Why? Because we know you enter into a marriage with money. The Torah creates a hekesh between marriage and divorce. So if entrance into a marriage can be done with money, exit from a marriage also can be done with money. That's the hava mina. Kamash malan. The Torah therefore has to say because of, meaning that the only means of divorce is only going to be through ksiva, through the writing of a contract. V'idach nafkalami sefer krisos. Sefer korta vein davar acher korsa. So as far as the other Tana, he learns it out from the words sefer krisos. V'idach mibay le davar akoriz bein olaveina. The other Tana is of the opinion that sefer krisos is coming to tell me that a get must create a full severance, no strings attached. If there's any connection between the husband and wife, let's say, for example, we'll do this more of this later in the Masechta. Let's say the husband says, I'm going to divorce you, but the divorce will only be effective if you never go into so-and-so's house, or you never marry so-and-so. Right? That is a get with a string attached. That's no good. A get must be a full severance, no strings attached. Here the Mishnah gives examples. I don't know why I had to give my own examples. Here's a get. Sorry, provided that you never drink wine again, or on condition that you do not go to your father's house. So the ola means ekrisus ashloshim yom. So hares ekrisus. If it's a temporary condition that this will be your get if you don't go to your father's house for the next 30 days, okay, that's fine because that's not a permanent string attached. That's a temporary condition. Temporary conditions are fine. Permanent strings attached to the get disqualify the get. V'idach mikaris krisos. Now the other one derives it from the word karis krisos. V'idach karis krisos lo darshi. And the other Tana doesn't darshin the additional letters at the end of karis, so he doesn't derive the secondary point from there as well. Okay, a lot covered over the course of today. Let's just quickly chazer. We started off today discussing engraving. If the engravement is only by working on the background and the letters form on their own, that's no good, that's chaktuchas, that's no good. The tzitz was not made that way, even though the letters were protruding. The tzitz was made, according to Rashi, by banging from the back. That's why the letters are good by the tzitz. But any type of ksiva demands that the letters be formed by operating on the letters themselves, by fashioning the letters themselves. And then a whole series of Gemaras discussing the requirement of the get belonging to him, meaning the actual paper or piece of gold or whatever he writes on belonging to him, and him transferring ownership of the paper over to her. That is a necessary component in terms of the nesinas haget. Does a woman know this? The Gemara's conclusion is yes, she does. And therefore, even if she originally owned the document, but we're going to assume that she transferred ownership over to him, who then in turn transferred it back to her. And then an assortment of Gemaras of Gita v'chatzer b'am ke'echan, right, a big part of today's daf, and the transfer of the get over to the Eved Kenani, who in fact, who then is transferred over to her, Gito ve'avdo b'am ke'echan. Okay, some basic ideas. And finally, we concluded today with the Gemara's discussing the requirement of get can only be done only through Iksivas Hashtar, only through a document and no other means. There can be no strings attached. Some of the most basic halachas as it relates to get.